The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
You always hate to see when your teammates go down, but see, you know, let the sun go down. It hurts, you know, you see a guy who works his butt off all season. His preparation is second to none. You know, he does everything he's supposed to do to be able to put himself in a position to go out and be successful. So, you know, to see him go down with an injury, very unfortunate. And you know, praying for the best, and, you know, seeing him break, as we, you know, sit and wait.
Well, didn't have to sit and wait too long, Courtland Sutton and all of us, as we got the news that Tim Patrick, with the torn ACL, will be done for the season. Stank is back, and you called him the Broncos' best all-around wide receiver. Why?
I just think Tim Patrick does the dirty work, Mike. I think there's a guy that can play in the slot. There's the guy that can play any outside position, be it X, be it Z. Both receiver positions, so the strong side wide receiver or the weak side into the boundary wide receiver is the X. He's big. He can be physical. He's not afraid to go over the middle, catch the ball. He catches the ball consistently. You need him to set a pick, he'll do that. You need him to be the best blocking wide receiver, he'll do that. Like, that dude comes from a background of, I've had to earn every freaking thing I've gotten. Everything. I'm a free agent. He finally got paid. And for me, those are the guys that are the lifeblood of your organization. Those are the Rod Smith type of guys. Those are the
great
guys,
example. Great
right?
Example. Yep.
Those are the guys that just bust their ass to be great. And you want to reward those guys. You know, I was very just favorable. I'm not coming up with the right word, but in George Payton's mind to reward that guy, because those are the guys you want to reward. You want to show everybody else on the team, man, if you do things the right way, you're going to get an opportunity to get paid by our organization. And so that one hurts. And I'm with you, man. I mean, I was on this team when we thought Torrey Noel broke his neck in the end zone. They had to drive an ambulance out on the field in at Greeley. And we're like, you know, on a knee praying and we just Riverside and went to the other side of the field and kept up with the goal line drill. It was like, all right, come on, get off your knees, let's roll.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the way. I mean, I was sick, like literally sick. And so to stop the practice, and I've never actually seen it. Like, we stopped it for a second.
Yeah.
You know, because it was pure worry, but then we just moved it and we kept going.
Well, speaking of that, next on the Morning Brew.
Pure energy.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it's
this is so much better.
We debuted
like
this.
Tim, he's such an amazing leader that has done everything we've asked. You know, I mean, it breaks your heart because you love it. Now, on the flip side, he gives somebody else an opportunity to really grow and become a great player because that's what we're going to need. So I think that whenever you have these things happen, it's about supporting the man because we are about the entire team. But then at the same time, now flipping it out and going, hey, now everybody's got to pick it up and somebody's got to show up.
You know, I was thinking of... We debuted this on Monday and Tuesday while you were gone.
What did you say? You just said debuted it.
No, what, debuted.
The way it came out, Johnny...
Well, you cut me off.
No, I didn't cut you off. When you first said it, right after it. Johnny, you have it? Can you get...
I'd have to go in the login.
Okay, go in the login, but he completely butchered it. So you're 0 for 2 right now. You like I come back and you
I know are, I said dimmering.
Yeah, you're beside yourself. You didn't even hear yourself. But go ahead. What were you going to say? Go. Sorry.
I felt bad for Nathaniel Hackett because he was so excited about getting into pads.
Yeah.
Real football. And we talked about this yesterday that, you know, for all the gung-ho optimism about Hackett, I think he revealed some of the concern and worry that he has about, hey, we got to get this team, this offense up to speed quickly, and we don't have that many opportunities to do so. It's why we are doing so much 11-on-11 and scrapping 7-on-7 and 1-on-1s, because we just want to try to get as much real football in there. And literally on the first day of full pads, something like this happens.
Yeah.
And it just cast a pall over everything to the point where it took all the way up until the last play of practice when Montrell Washington scored a touchdown and then did a backflip, to really get the energy back, because you could feel out there, even with the crowd that was out there, you could feel the hangover
right,
after the Patrick
right.
injury.
And then you probably got to talk to, like, hey, we're not going to backflip.
Oh, you think you got to talk to about that?
Doesn't that seem like I mean, I'm risk averse, right? And the backflip, yeah, you brought great energy, but you come down and twist an ankle funny? You come down and get hurt? We already lost a guy. And that's a kid all of a sudden that was a controversial draft pick who, you know, as a return guy, looks like he's going to get an opportunity. And reading some of the reports, and, you know, I wasn't out there the last couple of days because of the Fox Summit. Like, he's a guy that's gotten his opportunity and actually really done some good things at the receiver position.
He had a good day yesterday, and he looked like somebody that could work his way into the receiver rotation. Next on the Morning Brew.
Now, look, guys, what you got to do, you got to get off those blocks. You got to put your hand up there right next to his shoulder pad. You got to yank down like you're shifting into third gear right there. Come around the corner.
I was busting a guy. I told Fever yesterday, I was sitting right here listening to Chad and Nate. And when Nate did his Lewis Hamilton impression, I go, grab that.
Uh-huh.
Grab that. I want to use that tomorrow. Lewis Hamilton. I was checking it. He tweeted yesterday about becoming part of the Broncos ownership group. Do you know he has 7.5 million followers?
Yeah, well, now he's got 7.5 million and one because I ended up following
him. And two, I followed him as well.
There you go.
And
wow.
It's a smart move.
By us? Yeah.
By the Broncos. Smart. Oh, by us. Oh. By us. By the Broncos. And it's got Russell Wilson's imprint all over it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
All over it. These two are tight. These two are friends. He goes to his races. They hang out. And I can easily see them having a conversation. And Hamilton or Russ saying, hey, you should get into ownership. You know, I thought about sport. And then Russ makes the call. Hey, dude wants to get in. Let's make it happen.
Right.
Done.
And it's not like the Waltons need money. They got plenty. I mean, they're the richest owners in the National Football League. Man, this is about bringing in a diverse group of people and opinion and thought process to try to make sure that the Broncos, from an ownership standpoint, have, you know, cutting edge from when it comes to ideas and all that. I mean, it's not about, I don't think this is about divvying up and taking some of the, taking some of the weight of the financial weight off of the Waltons. This is about putting together a group of really like-minded people, but come from diverse backgrounds so that you can look at things from a different avenue, from a different source. So I really like it. Lewis Hamilton. I mean, that's Sir. He's a knight.
He's a knight. He's been knighted like Sir Paul McCartney.
Can we
don't knight people.
Why not?
Because
we're not a monarchy. Well, we like the radio. I'm talking about the radio station. Could we operate as own?
Oh, you would like us to act like a monarchy?
Yeah,
and knight
start
people.
Knighting people. At what point do you?
I dub thee, Sir Stink.
Right, Sir Magic Mike Evans,
sword blade on both shoulders.
Yes.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Driven to right field, high, deep, and in.
Dick shot.
Padres TV, they sweep the doubleheader. MLB trade deadline comes and goes. The Rockies, the only team in Major League Baseball that does not make a move. You gotta laugh.
Do we have our holds? I mean, that's
you gotta laugh because otherwise you wanna cry. This is coming on the heels of a couple of off seasons where they were the only team in Major League Baseball not to spend a free agent dollar on players. And here's the explanation of GM Bill Schmidt. We are who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We all try to stay up with the Joneses, but sometimes you can't do that, right? We're not financially in that situation. So we're going to do the best we can with the resources we have. No trades. You watch an organization like the Padres, who for years were a smaller market team than the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going out and signing Manny Machado, and then they just pull off arguably the biggest trade in baseball history for Juan Soto. So, and here the Rockies are crying poor.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Okay. You think any potential trades were talked about? And the Rockies players that were up for trade didn't bring back enough value?
No, you could have got something.
Daniel Bard,
you could have got something for Bard. CJ Cron, you could have got something for CJ Cron.
Something, but I'm saying from an organizational standpoint, it just, there wasn't enough good prospects.
Here's the answer. Okay. The Rockies want to give you the illusion that they're trying to win without actually trying to win. And their only goal is to not to try to win games, but to show you, to somehow con you into thinking that they care. So you will continue to come out to the ballpark and make the ballpark the star. And that is why they do not want to trade guys like Bard, Crone, that have sort of become, you know, some fan favorites. They do not want to do anything that would create the perception that they have packed their tents and are rebuilding and telling their fans there's no reason to come out to the ballpark. They want to continue to give that illusion that they're still trying to compete. And as a result, they'll make, or in this case, not make the kind of moves that could at least help the baseball team. But that's not their goal, because the baseball team is not the star. The ballpark is the star. And the fan experience is the star.
So you are saying, and I did go to a game last Friday night, and it was exceptional.
I went to a game with my son last Wednesday afternoon. Had a tremendous time.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It's the only game I've been to this year, by the way.
You and me both.
Brother!
So, basically, they're illusionists, is what you're saying.
They're illusionists, yes. They're like David Copperfield.
A little bit more like Gallagher than David Copperfield.
Yeah, you're right. They are just a bunch of watermelons, exploding watermelons all over the place. That'll do it for the Morning Brew.